Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Southeast Faculty of Advancing Practice. In this podcast, we will be exploring the leadership and management pillar of advanced practice. My name is Joan Potterton and I'm the Advanced Practice Training Program Lead for Surgery and Ophthalmology. I'm delighted to be joined today by Maggie Woods, Simon Weech and Jennifer Ward. Would you like to introduce yourselves, Maggie?
Hi everyone, I'm Maggie and I've got a clinical background and I teach leadership.
Yeah, morning everyone. Thanks for asking us to be part of this, Joan. My name's Simon Weech. Yeah, equally, I have a clinical background as an advanced clinical practitioner in both emergency medicine and acute medicine, and also the training program lead for medicine for the NHS England Southeast Faculty of Advanced Practice.
Hi everyone. Yeah, thanks for inviting us today, Joan, and excited to speak about our leadership journey. I also am a clinician. I'm an advanced practice physiotherapist. I'm working in musculoskeletal health, and I'm also the training program lead for primary care in Kent, Surrey and Sussex.
Great. So lovely to have you all with us. When we were planning this podcast, we did go and speak, Simon and I had a conversation with some of the advanced practice trainees, just to find out from them what sort of things did they want us to talk about in a podcast, because it needs to be useful for our trainees. And a number of ideas were shared with us and a couple of key themes emerged. And I think we'll come on to those in a bit. But they also very much wanted to hear from some experienced advanced practitioners about their leadership journey. And I think Simon and Jenny, you'll be really well placed to talk about that. But I did wonder whether it might be helpful to start this podcast with a reflection on what leadership really is. You know, what are the key behaviours of leadership? And also to think about who can be a leader. Can everybody be a leader? And I wonder, Maggie, if you might just help us with those reflections to start.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Joan. And when I was thinking about the question, I just thought it would be really helpful to demystify leadership. And people often think that leadership's lovely magic dust that you're sprinkled with when you're born. And it really isn't that. It's a set of skills that we can all learn. And many of us already have those sort of innate skills in us, but a lot of us can develop those skills throughout our career. And so what I often use the phrase is leadership is a verb. It's not a title. It's about actually thinking and doing things as opposed to, well, I've got this role now. Now it means that I'm a leader. We're all leaders, and I'll come on to that in a minute. But the key thing is leadership's about doing something when you see something that needs doing. It's about taking action. But it's also doing that in the right way and for the right reasons, really. And often we think of when we come to a problem, I often say leadership is when you look at a problem and you're already starting to think of a solution as to sitting with that problem. So it's thinking about how do you use a positive mindset to move things forward. And there's this wonderful thing called a growth mindset. And leaders often have that growth mindset where they kind of see it as, okay, this is a difficult challenge, but what can I do about it?
Is that about seeing things as a challenge rather than a problem?
Yeah, I think so. And not kind of making it into sort of, you know, lighthearted, oh, well, everything's going to be okay. But it's just thinking about we are where we are. What is it that we can do? And then the other thing I was thinking about, really, when you talked about the sort of what does leadership look like? And again, people get very kind of, you know, hung up on what, you know, what's a leader and what does a leader look like? And the type of leadership we kind of espouse to in the NHS at the moment is this compassionate leadership. And it's quite simple, really. It's about listening to people, paying attention to them, really understanding where they might be, demonstrating some compassion. And then the important thing really is about then saying, how can I help? So as a leader in the sort of teams we work in, it's just paying attention to those four things. So, you know, being with people, understanding them, showing empathy, and then taking action to help them or offering help. And then it's really something about, you know, how you show up in that space. And many of us, and I'm sure we'll talk about this in a minute, but our experience can be the people we want to work with are those human people that aren't perfect leaders and have got this, you know, but they're human beings who we can connect with on that human level. And I'm sure Jenny and Simon have probably got some reflections on that. So I'll hand over to you to reflect on that.
No, absolutely. I don't know about you, Jenny, but yeah, I've certainly grown over my career alongside sort of like-minded individuals, really, that share kind of the same vision, the same passion about how we're developing, you know, our advanced roles. And things have changed so much in the last number of decades since, you know, I started in an extended scope role in emergency medicine. But yeah, definitely a look to communicate a lot with sort of like-minded individuals. I don't know whether you feel something similar, Jenny.
Yeah, just your words, Maggie, really helped me to reflect on the start of my sort of stepping more into a leadership space. So I started a consultant secondment a couple of years ago. And at the time of starting that, we were in the middle of the COVID pandemic, and all of the staff that I work with were suddenly being redeployed onto the wards, were feeling very vulnerable, you know, scared of catching COVID, essentially, and also working in, you know, unfamiliar environments. So it was a really difficult time for everybody. And I was stepping into this leadership space in this environment. And what I didn't understand at the time when I sort of took on the new role was actually it's the emotional connection that I developed with people as they were going through this journey was the thing that allowed me to be a leader. It was, as Maggie said, talking to them, listening to what their fears were, listening to their stories, being empathetic. And, you know, I was equally going through the same experience as well. So I could really empathize with, you know, all of those thoughts and feelings and fears that they were having, and showing up as a real human being as well. And, you know, there were tears and there were, you know, hugs in the corridor. And actually, that was what really helped me to develop as a leader. And I had no understanding of that before I started that journey, that actually it's that emotional connection with the people that, you know, you're working with that helps to facilitate your ability as a leader, and underestimating probably the reward that that gave me. So having that deeper connection with the staff that I was working with was actually a fantastically rewarding experience and really helped me to deepen connections with those people, but also the toll that can take emotionally as well. So you have to have strategies to help you manage that, I think, and to have a safe group of other leaders that you can talk about your experiences with and you know, offload some of that as well. So I think it's absolutely about being that, you know, that real human being and having that real connection with people and showing that you're vulnerable as well, and showing that you know, there are times when you'll find it hard, and that's okay to show that side of yourself as well, because that's actually what creates that deeper connection with people.
Yeah, my reflection is often when I started my training, and, you know, I was taught all the, you know, what we did this and we did this procedure and we did that procedure. What I was never taught about when I started to work within a team or leading a team was how to do it. And those, you know, that, and I was almost taught to be a kind of a person without those emotions. But you're right, Jenny, when you bring the sort of human being into it, it enables that connection and it bonds you as a team.
I think that's really key points, and it's all about that civility, isn't it? That's so important, and there's a lot of work being done on that recently about the civility saves lives. But, you know, being civil means people can approach you.
Absolutely.
They're not afraid to go and approach you when they've got, you know, issues, emotions, like you said.
And there was a really important point, Jenny, I wanted to sort of reflect on, which is around our ability to be kind to ourselves in this, because, you know, as a leader, we often put, you know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. We've got to be perfect and all of that. But actually, there's a need for us to be compassionate to ourselves. And if we're compassionate to ourselves and pay attention to ourselves, we'll show up better for our teams. And so it's thinking about how am I taking care of myself as well as taking care of my team?
Yeah, and understanding that, you know, you might have these perfect expectations of yourself as a leader, and particularly if you're taking on a new role and stepping into that kind of advanced practice space, and, you know, you can plan how you're going to be as a leader, and actually in reality you have to live and experience that, and to understand that you will make mistakes along the way, and that to be forgiving to yourself of those mistakes and to be open to learning from other people about, you know, mistakes they've made along their journey. And so if you can find mentors that can be open and honest and frank with you about, you know, their experiences of where it's gone well, where it's not gone so well, then I think that helps you to see the bigger picture around, you know, it's expected that sometimes it will go really well and sometimes it won't. So
it's interesting because that was one of the key themes actually that came out of the conversation that we had with some of the trainees, that question about how do I navigate my way as a leader in a new team? And particularly if you're the only advanced practitioner, because I think that's often the case where you may be the only advanced practitioner in that role and you're trying to fit into a new team and yet still be a leader. And a lot of advanced practitioners don't have the leadership title. And as you said, Maggie, that's not really relevant. But a lot of people think they need to be in that role. But I just wonder, have we got any reflections on how do you do that when you're new in a team and trying to fit in? And sometimes these people have come from roles. I spoke to somebody the other day and they'd already been a matron, but had then moved into an advanced practice role. So they had a very clear role as a matron in their previous role, but then found it quite difficult when they were moving into the advanced practice role to kind of demonstrate those leadership capabilities.
Well, the first thing I would think about is when you're starting new in a team or moving into a new team, it's to first of all pay attention, like we've just been saying, around to yourself, around being really clear, what is my role and responsibilities within this team? And have I got that clear and communicated that to my team about, you know, what I'm actually here for and connecting that with to the purpose of the wider team. So I'm here to support or I'm here to facilitate. And so that real clarity around people's roles and purpose and what they're working towards. And it sounds really obvious, but sometimes we don't have those conversations and we bump up against each other, and that's where conflict can happen. So when you're new in a team, being really clear and then ensuring if you're the leader within that team, that everyone else in that team is clear about what their roles and responsibilities are, and kind of just making sure that there is that clarity. And one of the things that I find really helpful are just some of what I call this kind of hygiene factors in, like, do you meet regularly as a team? Does everyone have, one-to-ones and appraisals and all of that sort of thing, which is really helpful for teams just to sort of get themselves organised? Because if you've got that foundation of clarity and communication, it can be really helpful. And then when you're new in a team, talking to your colleagues about, well, how are we going to work together? How are we going to give each other feedback and do it upstream? Because often when bumps in the road happens in teams, it's when people haven't had that conversations early on to say, you know, it's okay to say to me, oh, I'm not sure how we're doing this or what should do. So have those conversations really early on. And also, and I think this is something all leaders need to learn from, and I need to learn from this myself, is sometimes you just need to get out of other people's way. As a leader, you need to be there for them, but let them get on with it. So demonstrate that you trust the people that you work with, and you trust them unconditionally, but be there when they come to you, really. And then there's a really important point for all of us, and it made me think this morning as well, because it's a really important point for all of us to have other support, whether we have a coach or a mentor. Jenny mentioned mentorship, and I think that's really important when you're new in a role to have that support and mentorship. I'm not sure if Simon or Jenny have got any other reflections on that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, just listening to that, Maggie, I mean, a couple of my early thoughts around this, or certainly reflections. I mean, there are some key themes I think that I'm taking from your words there. It really is worth investing the time in building those relationships with other professionals and other professional groups, not just that kind of same professional group that you're necessarily working within, but in the broader kind of multidisciplinary team. There's so much that you can, you know, learn from others, not only in sort of opportunities as a leader, but equally, you know, you can glean lots of insights personally and sort of professionally, really, from other groups that don't necessarily do things in the same manner as you, for me, it's always been really about setting clear expectations with those that I'm kind of working with. You know, it's appreciating that you're creating or fostering a safe environment because this is an advanced role that we're undertaking. But being clear early on about the expectations that maybe others might perceive you to have or what you expect others to be able to do within your team. And like you say, you know, utilizing those other professionals that have got a similar mindset.
So it's interesting. You both talked there about the importance of role clarity and setting expectations. And that is, in fact, one of the management and leadership capabilities laid out in the multi-professional framework for advanced practice. So really, really important point there.
I think adding on to that, my reflections when starting in a newer leadership role is it goes back to that understanding what people's roles and responsibilities are, but understanding that some people might feel threatened by you stepping into that role. You know, they may feel that you're going to take away some of their roles and responsibilities. So I think that comes back to that really open communication and having those conversations with everybody, probably on a one-to-one basis, about what are their passions, what do they really enjoy doing, and what leadership roles are they already taking on, and how can you work together to complement those rather than feeling like that's a threat, because that can create some conflict within the team as well. And I really like Simon's suggestions about thinking more broadly about the mentorship network, so within the multidisciplinary team, but also within your region. So there might be advanced practice networks or communities of practice that you can join, where you can learn across organisations, you know, different trusts and different providers, what experiences are they having, and to be that support network for each other on a more broader basis.
And I think the Leadership Academy also provide a coaching service, don't they, Maggie, that is open to everybody?
Yeah, they do. It's just go on to, you know, put it NHS Leadership Academy coaching, and you'll be able to access free coaching and mentoring, which is really powerful. And I love what you said there, Jenny, because I think often we focus on our internal organisation, and, you know, because we're busy, aren't we, with the day job, and our heads are down and we get cracking on. But sometimes the solutions to our problems can be found if we look up and outwards as well. And part of our role as a leader sometimes is just to pause and to stop the madness and just think, okay, who might be able to help me, and who can I ask for help, and not being afraid to ask for help.
I think the other thing that's really important is recognizing that it doesn't just happen. It happens over time. It's things you practice and things you learn. And I think, is it Simon Sinek has done that wonderful podcast or TED Talk? I can't remember which it is, but do you love your wife? And it's about that whole moment. There isn't one moment when you suddenly realized you loved your wife. It was something that happened over time. Similarly, you don't go to the gym and come back, look in the mirror and think, oh, I've got muscles, I look amazing. It's something that happens over time, but you can never pinpoint that one moment of when it happened. And I love that sort of idea that it is actually, you know, something that, and we continue to grow, you know, you continue to develop in your leadership.
Absolutely. And trust me, Joan, nobody's got it cracked. Nobody's the perfect leader, you know, and I don't actually want to work for the perfect leader. I want to work for someone who's a human being and who I can connect with, and who might say to me, oh, I didn't quite get that wrong. Because it demonstrates that ability, that humanity that Jenny was talking about.
Yeah, that person who can put their hand up and apologise and say, you know what, I was out of order there. That wasn't how I want to be. I was having a bad day or whatever it is, because we can all have bad days. And I think that's also something that we need to recognize in the NHS, that we're all working under so much pressure that sometimes your behaviors can change when you're under pressure. And it's about how do you do that, checking in with yourself to make sure that, you know, you are aware of that you've got that self-awareness around that.
And I really, it goes back to the point around self-compassion, doesn't it, around how am I kind to myself when I have had a bad day. And it's thinking about, well, okay, just noticing it can be really helpful, but it being thinking, well, if that situation happened again, what would I do differently? So that kind of just learning from it, but owning it and sharing with others that you've owned it, because none of us are perfect. But I think sometimes we strive for that perfection, and it can be really stressful to be in that place.
So one of the other things that our trainees were talking about was this whole kind of, well, I suppose what you call imposter syndrome, you know, about not feeling you're good enough for that role. And I don't know, Simon and Jenny, did you experience that? Maybe Simon, you'll come to you first. You experienced that when you were new into the role? Maybe you still experience it. I don't know. What are your thoughts around that?
So, I mean, there's lots about imposter syndrome, isn't there? And I mean, my own personal journey, I think it seems to go up and down like a yo-yo some days. Even when you get into, you know, higher up on the career ladder, it's still, I personally still never find it goes away. I have weeks that are better and I feel really good, you know, and I tend to try and embrace those achievements on that day. But equally, you know, there are days that are not as good. And I think that's OK. I think it's just having the insight and being able to recognise that in yourself or in colleagues that might feel that, really.
And Jenny, what about you? Have you had that experience?
I think, again, I've sort of started to step into more of a strategic leadership space, which is sort of more thinking about, you know, working collaboratively across organisations to think about the strategy of how we lead. And so some of that has involved going to these really big, scary strategic meetings, and there's all these really, you know, high up experienced people who, you know, are way above my pay grade. And I went to this one meeting, you know, feeling quite nervous about going there. And it's a new language when you start working in those spaces. And, you know, it's hard to kind of keep up and follow what everyone's saying. And I was going there as a research representative because I'm really passionate about research in my role. And so, you know, I turned up at this meeting and one of the people that was in attendance was somebody I'd worked with previously. And I walked through the door and she said, "What are you doing here?" And immediately my imposter syndrome was raging. So I thought, I don't know what I'm doing here. But actually, you know, she was very nice about it. And I sort of explained I was there as a research representative to sort of talk about how we can deliver on the research pillar for advanced practitioners. But it did get me thinking. And at the time I was having some coaching with somebody and I talked about this experience and how it had really sort of made me feel a bit unconfident about my role in that space. And she gave me some really fantastic tips around actually what she suggested was to go and seek out some feedback about my role in that space. So she suggested talking to the person chairing the meeting at a later date and asking some really guided questions around how have I contributed to this meeting in the past? Where have you seen me contributing effectively during this meeting? And then also to ask, how can I best contribute to this meeting moving forward? So it was about trying to get some feedback to challenge my own imposter syndrome, but asking those questions in a quite specific way. So you're really trying to get some tangible feedback on your performance and how your performance can improve moving forwards. And then also other tips were around thinking about, again, your network. So if you're stepping into, you know, new roles where you are feeling a bit nervous, thinking about who might be your allies in that room, who might have you worked with previously, or you know, are there any names that you recognise? And can you start to create some relationships with those people so that you feel that you've got some allies within that room? And so then when you're suggesting, you know, suggesting ways of strategically developing services, that you feel that there's some people there that are going to give you some nods and going to give you some positive body language and feedback, which can help to improve your confidence as well. So those are probably my two top tips for challenging imposter syndrome.
We've all got it. And actually, I'd be slightly worried if people didn't have it, because it can be a bit of a motivator for want us to do well. And I'm involved with people at all levels in the NHS, and the people at the most senior levels, they all have it. So, you know, it's kind of okay to have it. But the question you need to ask yourself is, how is it serving me in this space? And what is it? I love what you said, Jenny, about actually finding the data to support the truth, which is I'm here because I deserve to be here and I've got the skills and talents to be here, and not kind of thinking, not letting it's almost not letting the voice of the imposter become big, but look at the reality. And that can really help if people then look at what they've done well. So at the end of each day, just to acknowledge, what did I do well today? And that helps to sort of silence your imposter a little bit.
Yeah, because it is that thing in your head, isn't it, that talks to you. It's how do you shut it up?
Absolutely. Yeah, and beat you up, Joan. It can beat you up and it can actually stop us performing at our best. That's what we've got to be careful on. And so it's thinking, what is the truth in this situation? The truth is, you know, we're here to do a job and people trusted to do this job. And actually, if our imposter gets in the way, it's stopping us being fabulous at our job.
But also, as Jenny said, then if that's not working, to go back to somebody and say, what can I do? How can I serve you better? What do you need from me? You know, how can I be more useful to you? Okay, so to wrap up our conversation, any last thoughts from any of you?
Yeah, if it's okay, Joan, I just wanted to sort of reinforce the point that everyone is a leader. And I think sometimes we do, you know, default to thinking that the people in the senior positions are the ones who will be the leaders. But the best leaders I've worked with, particularly clinically, are, you know, people that are my peers, that are just people that see themselves in their roles as just being quite ordinary, but they're the people that get on and do things. And it's just for everyone listening to this to think about themselves as a leader and what is it that they could do to sort of just lean in slightly to acknowledging that in themselves. So that was my final point, really.
And I think that's a really important message for the advanced practitioners, because a lot of advanced practitioners aren't in a traditional leadership role or have that leadership management title in their role. And I think that's, like I say, a really important message for them.
Yeah, moving on from what Maggie said about everyone being a leader, I think my reflection is the NHS is ever-changing and that's never going to stop. So, you know, we refer to advanced practice now as being advancing practice because it's continually developing and evolving. And so I think part of our role as leaders, and for all of us to be leaders, is to understand how to adapt to that change and maybe how to drive forwards change as well, and to be those people that can see where improvements can happen and how you might facilitate that. And that comes back to bringing everybody along on that journey with you and letting people make mistakes and trial things. And, you know, maybe it's that plan, do, study, act cycle that you think about, and you know, there will be successes and failures within that, but you have to have the whole team come on that journey with you. And it's about understanding how to facilitate that, inviting people to engage in that process, listening to their ideas about where can they see transformation happening, what innovative ideas have they got for service development, and really embracing that and you know, not being afraid to try new things, I think probably is my sort of final take home message.
So that's been about that sort of influence based collaborative leader, isn't it, as opposed to the traditional sort of transactional leader that you are, like you say, seeing the opportunities and moving those forward. Simon, any last thoughts from you?
I think my kind of take home message is this is we are on a lifelong journey. You know, the NHS is, as Jenny says, continually evolving, and we're part of, you know, this workforce transformation that is providing alternative kind of models of care for patients in what are difficult times. It's okay to have bad days. It's okay to have good days. I think developing, you know, your scope of practice as a leader is a continuous journey. And as my colleagues have said, I think it's worth embracing the opportunities and engaging with others and like-minded individuals in your field and beyond within the multi-professional team. And just continually seek to kind of expand your knowledge and skills. There will be, I know there's a number of resources that we're putting together as a faculty that will be useful for you to have a look over. I'm sure they're coming out on our website at some stage. But otherwise, just believe that you are making a positive impact on patient care and outcomes for patients. And, you know, your leadership journey, it will only enhance that, really.
Brilliant. Thank you. It's been an absolutely lovely conversation with you all. Thank you very much for your input.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks, Joan.